Bible Line, Bible Line. Hear God's Word on Bible Line. Hear God's truth on Bible Line.
Welcome to Bible Line with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bible Line to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's first part of this two-part message will be a blessing to you and your family.
I want to try to give you some ideas this morning that can help and determine what is wise, what is right. If you want to get in trouble as a pastor, just try to tell people how to vote. Get in a heap of trouble real quick. So I'll probably get in a lot of trouble this morning. But I want you to take your Bible, first of all, and just look at this. But look there in the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You know, we are privileged to live in America. The Jewish nation was privileged that they had the Word of God. Their only problem is they didn't obey it. And they were privileged to have the Son of God come through their nation, their tribe, their certain family and certain city, but then they rebelled against that. So we have the scriptures that was given to us, and many people don't believe those. But the Bible tells us what we should do. Now, I am a citizen of two countries. I still live in the flesh. I live in the body. I'm living on planet Earth. And I was born in America, and my first birth is a physical birth. I have responsibilities as a citizen of this country. Therefore, I believe I have responsibilities. I'm also a citizen of heaven because I have two births. I've been a citizen, dual citizenship, as they say. I'm a citizen of heaven. So I have a responsibility toward God and spiritual things. So today I want to talk to you about our responsibilities as a Christian living in this country. Verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men except politicians. Except the president. No, it says for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So we should pray, and we should pray for our leaders. And if we can determine what kind of leaders we have, you can't pray that we'll have godly leaders and then vote totally contrary to what we believe will give us this. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So if we're to pray for them, one of the things that we should pray for the leaders is that they come to know Christ as Savior. I'll be honest with you. I prayed many a prayer that Obama would trust Christ as Savior. I prayed many a prayer and still do that Donald Trump would truly trust Christ as Savior. Now, he may have, but I don't know. I've not heard a good, clear testimony. I like his governmental principles, but if we had to elect a pastor of the church, I don't think he'd qualify. There's only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Jesus Christ did come. He died on the cross. And we're supposed to pray for all because Christ died for all and that all would be saved. So that means if we pray for them, we should do everything we can to win people to Christ. And that's why we thank the Lord for the ministries that he's given us and various people who are reaching out to do just that. I want to share a few thoughts with you, and I'm assuming this is all ready to go. A republic is dependent upon the character of the people. And the reason is because it depends upon the character that we have internally of whether or not we will obey self-governing laws. Because, see, if you cannot govern yourself, you're going to have to be governed by somebody else. We are free people. We don't have a king over us. Those in Washington do not rule over us. We are free people, and we are individually kings in our own country. We have freedom to do what is our responsibility to do. And therefore, we as a people have given to a government certain responsibilities. That's not to take away the rights of the individuals. Since a republic is predicated upon the principle of individual self-government, it is essential that the people of the nation know and practice individual self-government. In other words, teaching a child while it's young and as it grows up how to govern themselves. How to know what's right, how to know what's wrong, and why they should do right. And knowing the consequences that if you do wrong, the price that you have to pay. That's the best form of government so that when they become an adult, they'll know there's responsibilities. So we should teach that. This self-government can only be practiced in the life of the individual as he consents to the direction, regulation, control, and restraints of the government of Jesus Christ internally. In other words, the reason we want to teach children the Word of God and teenagers the Word of God and adults the Word of God, because the Word of God is supposed to be that which helps you to know how to govern yourself, because it is to give you and I the direction in life that we need. And it is to give us the restraints in our life against the things that are wrong toward God or toward one another. But if you don't know how to govern yourself, there's two kinds of discipline we talk about. One is self-discipline, where you can discipline yourself. The other one is imposed discipline. The reason that I ran away from home and joined the Navy was because I was sick and tired of people telling me what I could and couldn't do. So I had imposed discipline. They never asked me what I'd like. They told me what I had to do. Told me when to get up, when to take a bath, when to take a shave, when to do everything. You talk about losing your freedom. I knew not what I did until it was too late. So this consent of the governed will produce the character of a Christian republic, which is what our country was founded to be, a Christian republic. Now, Isaiah says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, and he will save us." Well, this was to Israel, and Israel knew that this is the three branches of government. There is a judicial, which is in America our Supreme Court. There is the legislative, and there is executive. The judge, Supreme Court, the lawgiver, that's where you have your House of Representatives and the Senate, and so therefore they make the laws, and the president is to execute those laws. So in the person, you and I, we are supposed to have our own internal government, self-government. Well, that's why we have a body, soul, and spirit. Thou hath clothed me with skin and flesh, and hath fenced me with bone and sinew. This is in the book of Job. Thou hast granted me life. So if God granted me life, he has the right to tell me how to use this life. When God has granted me life, that is the right to life, the right to live. Right in God's word, and it tells us this. These are the three branches of self-government. You got a body, soul. If a man cannot control his spirit, then he's no better than a city that has no walls. It's easy to control and break down, and the man has to have a defense. Now, rights and responsibilities. I don't believe many people really understand this, because everybody today is fighting for their rights. All right. What are rights? Since everyone in every known group seems to be fighting for rights, I believe it would behoove us to know what they really are, our rights, and what I give to you. Are they what I have? Do I determine your rights or you determine mine? But are they what you give to me? Are they what the state legislature says they are? Are they the will of the majority vote? Do they change with society? Who gave us these rights that we want to fight for? I got my right. And so many people believe that government has granted to us the right to liberty and all that. No, they were to secure our rights. They didn't give it to us. To secure our liberty, they didn't give it to us. Government didn't give us the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God gave us that, not government. Government was raised up in America to secure the liberties and the rights and the privilege that we already had. Now, are there really minority rights, civil rights, homosexual rights, women's equal rights? But this was back in around 30 years ago when the women were fighting for their equal rights. Our rights, whatever we want them to be, just to keep things simple, a right must be right. Now, this is going to be a little twisting of the tongue, and it's going to be a little hard to follow, but try to follow it. It can't be wrong, or a wrong could be right. If a right is right and a wrong could be right, then everything would be right. There would be no wrong, and you know that can't be right. So everything that you want to do, if it's wrong, can't be right, because right is right and wrong is wrong. And you can't make a wrong right. Right? All right. Since y'all really understand that, we're going to move right along. Were there rights before there was government, like county, city, state, or federal? Do rights change? How many people does it take to make a right? How many people does it take to turn a light bulb? All depends on who's in charge. Well, we'll move right along. These simple questions deserve simple answers. See, God and God alone is the source of our rights. You say, well, I don't know about that. Yeah, you've been wrong before. Governments are instituted among men to secure and protect these inalienable rights. In other words, rights are not supposed to be taken from you. They're endowed to us by our Creator. The Lord God of the Bible has given to each individual specific responsibilities. The Lord cannot hold you accountable to fulfill a responsibility unless He also gives you the right to fulfill that responsibility. So instead of people fighting for their rights, no, fight for your responsibility, because God is going to hold you and I responsible for the things that He's told us to do. God's word tells us about choices we make in life for husband or wives, how we raise our children, the jobs to have, how to make money, how to spend money, how to save money, how to give money. All these principles are found in the Word of God. So how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to love God, how we're supposed to love one another. All these things are taught in the Word of God. This is why the basics of every individual must be taught the principles found in the Word of God. Because, see, our country and our freedom is based upon our knowledge. Can I govern myself according to the principles laid down in the Word of God? If I cannot, then I have to be governed. I have to have more laws to constrain me. And the more rebellious I am, the more laws there has to be. And every law that is passed takes away not only my freedom, but the freedom of every other individual in the country. Because whatever they say you can't do is something that I can't do either. Because all the laws are applied to every individual, because we're people under the law. So the next point. Any person who wishes to discover his God-given rights need only to discover his God-given responsibilities. What am I responsible for? Well, who created me? Well, the Lord did. Well, what for? To honor and to please Him. So if I'm to please the Lord, then I've got to have the freedom to study the Word of God so that I can know my responsibilities. This is why the Bible tells the nation of Israel, who were given the Word of God, teach them to your children that may teach them to their children that may teach them to their children. And that's found in the book of Psalms in chapter 78. It's a beautiful chapter. But back there in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6, he says, teach your children. And to put the Word of God, you know, on the doorposts of the house and inside, everywhere, put the Word of God. so that they'll learn when they sleep to think about the Word of God. And when they eat, they'll think about the Word of God. And when they work and whatever they do and wherever they go, they'll think about the Word of God. And that the Word of God is so important. And every parent was to teach their children the Word of God. Well, in America, you cannot preserve a nation unless you can preserve the education of the children that's going to be the next generation coming up. But the very foundation of our country, if it be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Because, see, that's why we wanted the children to be taught the Word of God, even in the public schools. But now prayer is not permitted. Let's take that out. Teaching the Bible, well, let's take that out. Then you cannot properly educate the children without this book. Impossible. You can train them to be an atheist. You can teach them socialism and you can teach them communism, but you can't teach them Christian principles without that which comes because of the Word of God. And if we take the Word of God out and prayer out and teachers that cannot talk to the kids because they can't do that, that's the foundation for producing these people that's supposed to vote down the road to secure our freedom. So little by little, we'll lose our freedom. So God and God alone is the source of all of our rights, because He's the source of our responsibilities. He tells us, the individual, husbands, love your wives. The husband is supposed to provide for his family, and the woman has responsibilities. So they got to have the freedom to fulfill those responsibilities. And so if you want them for yourself, you have to also give everybody else the same responsibility, the same right they can fulfill their responsibility, because that's what God wants. Governments are instituted among men to secure and protect these rights. By who? Our Creator, by the Lord Himself. Freedom without boundaries and limits is not freedom at all. Here's a train. It says, boy, man, I wish I could get off these tracks. I am limited to these tracks, and all I have to do is go down these tracks. I want to go over there and go across that land over there, and I want to climb up on those hills over there. But as soon as that thing gets off those tracks, it's not going anywhere. The bird says, I want to be able to swim in the water like the fish do. But if it tries it, it's not going to be free anymore. And that fish says, man, I want to be a fly like that eagle up there. Well, it'll die. But there's certain responsibilities God's given to us. And when we get to where we want to do our own thing and go our own way, and whatsoever a man can think he wants to try to do, if every man just did that which was right in his own eyes, would we take something that belonged to somebody else if we did that? Would we kill whoever we wanted to kill? Would we have sex with anybody we want to have if we don't do whatever we want to do in our own eyes? Everybody's his own judge. What kind of a world would we have? That's the world we can see coming to be. Why? Because every man wants to do that which is right in his own eyes, not what's right in God's eyes. So there's a price to pay. True freedom is not intended to be free to do wrong. God given us freedom so we'll do right. The choice. But rather, the freedom to do right. Our forefathers fought and died so that we would have the freedom to fulfill our responsibilities. It is a great shame in America when men are no longer willing to fight for the right to fulfill their responsibility. To fight for your rights is to fight for your responsibility. And today, we've raised up a generation of people who don't want any responsibility. Kids don't want to make up their room, so they don't. And they want to go out and have free sex and go with every girl or every boy they want to. They just go ahead and do it. Do whatever you want to do. Why? Because that's what many adults are doing. Whatever they want to do. And so when you're not learning the truth of the Bible, you do not have the wisdom to make the right decisions. You will do that which is right in your own eyes. But that doesn't make it right just because you and I think of whatever we want to do. It's right because of what God's Word has to say. Anyway, true freedom is not freedom from law, but freedom to do right. Freedom, and living in good old America, we have the freedom of choice, but it doesn't make your choice right just because you got freedom of choice. And so many people believe that we just, majority will rule. We'll discuss that. This choice is not between right and wrong, but between right and right. Because there's a lot of things that are good, and a lot of things are right. And I can get to the same destination going two different roads, but they can come same place. But in life, We're to make wise decisions and to seek the Lord and His Word and what it says and what we should and should not do. Yes, we got a lot of politicians, some women, some men. But sometimes the women are filling the gap because there's not enough men making the right decisions, the wise decisions. Now, your freedom guaranteed to you by the U.S. Constitution does not give you the right to live the way you please. Can you trust Christ as your Savior? Yes. Can you live as the way you please? Well, yes, you can. But is it right? Still wrong. And just because you know you're going to heaven doesn't mean that God has given you the freedom. You can just live as wicked as you want. Now, you can. You still go to heaven. But it ain't over yet. His chastening hand. And the chastening hand of God can also come upon a nation when its people no longer honor Him or seek to please Him. Remember, if it is a right, it must be right. According to whom? God. If it is God alone who says what is right, then God alone says what is wrong. For example, homosexuals are fighting for their lifestyle to be made right by legislation. True or not? And I mean, is that true? That's a true statement. They are doing it. Is it possible? No. God declares this lifestyle as an abomination, which means a strong hatred for the sin. And no legislation of any kind can make it right when God says it's wrong. If God says it's wicked, it's wicked. And no legislative body on the face of this earth can make it right. They can make it legal, but not lawful. And there's a lot of difference. Therefore, no legislative body, state or federal, can ever make it right without changing God's mind first. But see, they're not working on God's mind changing. They're working on Christians. Because you see, Christians, you're so closed-minded, you're old-fashioned. You believe that old-fashioned book. You want to go back to the old days. Well, we should have never left the old ways. When the old ways were right, you don't leave them. Why are we letting the world determine which direction we go as a country? What's wrong with understanding and believing what God's Word says and stay on the right road and do that which is right and honorable to God? Why do we have to experiment? Because they want to experiment. To see whether or not, hey, let's try this. Don't need to. God's already said, that's wrong. It may be made legal by the will of the majority, but it is not lawful. By the will of God, homosexuality is in violation of the supreme law of the land. The Lord will chastise an individual or nation who neglects his responsibility to do what's right. That goes with anything else they want to say, that we're fighting for their rights. They're not fighting for anybody's right. They're fighting for the right to sin so they don't have the stigma as that's been wrong. So let's just take all sin and make it right. Therefore, it's not wrong. And then you can't say something because it's lawful because they passed the law. They passed legislation. And now us Christians who believe that it's wrong, you're looked down upon and I will be looked down upon because of what I'm saying today. Not because I'm wrong, but because I refuse to bend. Or to bow. And I will not change my mind. There are many ungodly, sincere women who are naively caught up in the powerful women's political organizations. Yet they actually believe they're fighting to liberate the women of this country. You cannot fight for a right or responsibility that violates another's rights or responsibility. If it does, it is neither a lawful right or unlawful responsibility. It is neither. For the most part, many of the great women of this country are only being used and abused by a few ungodly women who wish to pass legislation that would free all women from their true rights. I believe that we ought to lift women up and honor them. I want to try to treat my wife as honestly, as good and godly as I possibly know how. I want to try to meet her every need, and I want to try to provide for her. I love my wife. That's not putting her down. That's not to shame her. That's because I love her. If every man loved his wife, like he's supposed to love his wife, it would change a lot of things in our country. It would keep a man from looking at somebody else's wife and all the other girls because he knows he's got one and he got a jewel, a precious pearl of great price. And I believe that we ought to hold that woman in respect just like God says we should. There's nothing wrong going God's way. She has more freedom because she knows she's cared for and she's loved and she's got a husband who tries to practice what he preaches. And every man ought to do exactly the same thing. I don't believe it's right for a man to go cheating on his wife. I still think adultery is wrong and fornication is wrong outside of marriage. Sex is wrong. I just happen to believe that. Why? Because the Bible says so. If that makes me an old-fashioned fuddy-duddy, then so be it. I'll wear that tag proudly. Anyway, only God can give rights. No legislative body in the world has the right to make amendments and or statutes contrary to the law of God. This is why all politicians, all of them, should be immersed and know and understand what the Word of God says. We got people running for office today that have no clue what the Bible says. Not only that, they don't even know what the Constitution says. They don't even know what the Bill of Rights are. They're running for office because I believe, and they'll have some crazy little issue. By the time they get into office, that's not even the issue, and then they got to solve all these other things, and all they've got is their human reasoning, which is going to be humanistic philosophy. Contrary to the Constitution, contrary to our right, contrary to our freedom, contrary to the Republican form of government, contrary to the Bible. But that's okay because they don't know this other part over here even exists. That's why we got politicians today that care nothing about what that Constitution says, and they'll violate anybody's rights. It is truly a disgrace when politicians' greed for power so warps their judgment that they would stoop so low as to prey upon society with the promise of legalizing their sins. And that's what we're doing. More and more of our freedoms are being lost. Where will it stop? The preamble to the Constitution contains the word, promote the general welfare. Quote Article 1, Section 8. Contains the word provide for the general welfare of the United States. It's in there. Welfare, as used then, means your well-being. That was the reason for the other 16 to 18 things mentioned in the Constitution for the well-being of our citizens. It had no meaning whatsoever of the government providing for individuals in this country. It's not providing welfare. It's promoting welfare. Not that the government, the federal government, is to provide. Now, we may want to believe that, but it's not in there. How do you know? I read it. Did you know you can actually sit down and read the Constitution? You didn't know that, did you? Did you know that we can understand that Constitution just like they did when they wrote it? It's possible. Wherefore, as used in, it does not mention providing for the general welfare of the individual. He said, what difference does it make? Duh. Where do you think so much of our taxes go for? The things listed in the Constitution? No. It's the things that are not even listed in the Constitution. But in life, we're to make wise decisions and to seek the Lord and His Word and what it says and what we should and should not do. Yes, we got a lot of politicians, some women, some men. But sometimes the women are filling the gap because there are not enough men making the right decisions, the wise decisions. Now, your freedom guaranteed to you by the U.S. Constitution does not give you the right to live the way you please. Can you trust Christ as your Savior? Yes. Can you live as the way you please? Well, yes, you can. But is it right? Still wrong. And just because you know you're going to heaven doesn't mean that God has given you the freedom. You can just live as wicked as you want. Now, you can. You still go to heaven. But it ain't over yet. His chastening hand. And the chastening hand of God can also come upon a nation when its people no longer honor Him or seek to please Him. Remember, if it is a right, it must be right. According to whom? God. If it is God alone who says what is right, then God alone says what is wrong. For example, homosexuals are fighting for their lifestyle to be made right by legislation. True or not? And I mean, is that true? That's a true statement. They are doing it. Is it possible? No. God declares this lifestyle as an abomination, which means a strong hatred for the sin. And no legislation of any kind can make it right when God says it's wrong. If God says it's wicked, it's wicked. And no legislative body on the face of this earth can make it right. They can make it legal, but not lawful. And there's a lot of difference. Therefore, no legislative body, state or federal, can ever make it right without changing God's mind first. But see, they're not working on God's mind changing. They're working on Christians. Because, you see, Christians, you're so closed-minded, you're old-fashioned. You believe that old-fashioned book. You want to go back to the old days. Well, we should have never left the old ways. When the old ways were right, you don't leave them. Why are we letting the world determine which direction we go as a country? What's wrong with understanding and believing what God's word says and stay on the right road and do that which is right and honorable to God? Why do we have to experiment because they want to experiment? To see whether or not, hey, let's try this, let's try this, let's try that. Don't need to. God's already said that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. It may be made legal by the will of the majority, but it is not lawful. By the will of God, homosexuality is in violation of the supreme law of the land. The Lord will chastise an individual or nation who neglects his responsibility to do what's right. That goes with anything else they want to say, that we're fighting for their rights. They're not fighting for anybody's right. They're fighting for the right to sin. So they don't have the stigma as that's been wrong. So let's just take all sin and make it right. Therefore, it's not wrong. And then you can't say something because it's lawful because they passed the law. They passed legislation. And now us Christians who believe that it's wrong, you're looked down upon and I will be looked down upon because of what I'm saying today. Not because I'm wrong, but because I refuse to bend or to bow. And I will not change my mind. There are many ungodly, sincere women who are naively caught up in the powerful women's political organizations. Yet they actually believe they're fighting to liberate the women of this country. You cannot fight for a right or responsibility that violates another's rights or responsibility. If it does, it is neither a lawful right or unlawful responsibility. It is neither. For the most part, many of the great women of this country are only being used and abused by a few ungodly women who wish to pass legislation that would free all women from their true rights. I believe that we ought to lift women up and honor them. I want to try to treat my wife as honestly, as good and godly as I possibly know how. I want to try to meet her every need, and I want to try to provide for her. I love my wife. That's not putting her down. That's not to shame her. That's because I love her. If every man loved his wife, like he's supposed to love his wife, it would change a lot of things in our country. It would keep a man from looking at somebody else's wife and all the other girls, because he knows he's got one and he's got a jewel, a precious pearl of great price. And I believe that we ought to hold that woman in respect just like God says we should. There's nothing wrong going God's way. She has more freedom because she knows she's cared for and she's loved and she's got a husband who tries to practice what he preaches. And every man ought to do exactly the same thing. I don't believe it's right for a man to go cheating on his wife. I still think adultery is wrong and fornication is wrong. Outside of marriage, sex is wrong. I just happen to believe that. Why? Because the Bible says so. If that makes me an old-fashioned fuddy-duddy, then so be it. I'll wear that tag proudly. Anyway, only God can give rights. No legislative body in the world has the right to make amendments and or statutes contrary to the law of God. This is why all politicians, all of them, should be immersed and know and understand what the Word of God says. We got people running for office today that have no clue what the Bible says. Not only that, they don't even know what the Constitution says. They don't even know what the Bill of Rights are. They're running for office because I believe, and they'll have some crazy little issue. By the time they get into office, that's not even the issue, and then they got to solve all these other things, and all they've got is their human reasoning, which is going to be humanistic philosophy. Contrary to the Constitution, contrary to our rights, contrary to our freedom, contrary to the Republican form of government, contrary to the Bible. But that's okay because they don't know this other part over here even exists. That's why we got politicians today that care nothing about what that Constitution says, and they'll violate anybody's rights. It is truly a disgrace when politicians' greed for power so warps their judgment that they would stoop so low as to prey upon society with the promise of legalizing their sins. And that's what we're doing. More and more of our freedoms are being lost. Where will it stop? The preamble to the Constitution contains the word, promote the general welfare. Quote Article 1, Section 8, contains the word, provide for the general welfare of the United States. It's in there. Welfare, as used then, means your well-being. That was the reason for the other 16 to 18 things mentioned in the Constitution for the well-being of our citizens. It had no meaning whatsoever of the government providing for individuals in this country. It's not providing welfare. It's promoting welfare. Not that the government, the federal government, is to provide. Now, we may want to believe that, but it's not in there. How do you know? I read it. Did you know you could actually sit down and read the Constitution? You didn't know that, did you? Did you know that we can understand that Constitution just like they did when they wrote it? It's possible. Wherefore, as used then, it does not mention providing for the general welfare of the individual. He said, what difference does it make? Duh. Where do you think so much of our taxes go for? The things listed in the Constitution? No. It's the things that are not even listed in the Constitution. And I'll explain that. Yet it is under an interpretation of this clause that we have become a welfare state. Nowhere does the Constitution delegate to the federal government the right to assume the responsibilities belonging to the individual. If welfare aid can be granted to some people and not others, it is unequal treatment. You and I would not have to fight for our rights in courts if legislators made statutes in harmony with the Constitution. Do you know what most of those people in Washington are? Lawyers. You know how lawyers make money? Trying to explain to us what the law is. And they wrote it. But they also, it says, that every law that your common man cannot understand is to be null and void. But you see, we don't understand all their rigmarole. You know where they give it to you in a big print? You yanks it away in a little print. And we don't never read their little fine printing. Now they can make more money going to courts so they can make more money. What a system. I heard a person say one time, this one guy who took the cruise, and I love taking those cruises. But a lawyer fell overboard, and there was a bunch of sharks, and not a one of them would touch him. They call it professional courtesy. Anyways, we're moving right along. Lawyers aren't bad. There's time for them. There's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, we are guaranteed in our Constitution, we are guaranteed a Republican form of government. Now, the U.S. Constitution is the change that we bind our politicians to so they certain things they can and cannot do. So that Constitution is good. It's the change upon Congress. It says you can't do this and you can't do that. And whatever's not listed there, all of those rights reserved to the states. They overstep their boundary because nobody puts up a defense. Nobody says anything. Let it go. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of ten. This is a governmental position. What kind of men? Able men that fear God, men of truth, hate covetousness. This is exactly what we have in Congress today, right? But where do those people come from? They come from the people in America that vote for those people. You see, they're not the problem. The problem is the people in America that don't know. People that are ignorant, putting in place of leadership, people that are not right. And there's a reason why they do that. Now get this. America is a republic, not a democracy. The precise language of the training manual, 2000-25, War Department, Washington, November the 30th, 1928, 100 years ago. It reads, democracy is a government of the masses. Its authority is derived through mass meeting or any other form of direct expression, which results in, that was 90 years ago. And what are they saying about some of the decisions that some of the Democrats are doing today? Some of the things that are going on. Calling it a mobocracy. That's not new. That was in the War Department, stating this is what democracy does. This is what they do. This is where it leads to. The attitude, democracy, toward property is communistic, negating property rights. The attitude toward law is that the will of the majority shall regulate. This is why you'll hear them now talking about we need to do away with the Electoral College. You know why? Because you could just go by the majority vote. And only politicians have to go to New York and California and get the majority vote. And the other state, you don't have to worry about them. The other 48 states, you can do without them. Why? Because the majority could take total control of this country. And those two states are mainly of what political party? And that's why they want to do it. Because this is why our founding fathers wouldn't let that happen. Because, see, with a total democracy, there's no freedom for the one person. Because the majority can take away the rights of anybody they want. And if they can do it to one, they can do it to you and somebody else. But people can't see this. So the attitude toward law is that the will of the majority shall regulate, whether it be based upon deliberation or governed by passion, prejudice, impulse, without restraint or regard to consequences. And you'll hear them talk about it on the news. They're making decisions for the moment, regardless of the consequences down the road. And if y'all listen to anything in the news, read anything in the paper, you ought to know that what I'm telling you is the truth. You'll learn more right here at this church than you will by watching Fox News. Anyways, we're moving right along. It results in license, agitation, discontent, and anarchy. And that's what you're going to see coming in this country if people don't get to the polls and vote. It's important. Because if certain people get in place of leadership, you're going to see a great decline in this country like you've never seen. And freedoms will be lost. And it's going to lead to riots and mobs and so forth. I mean, a lot of anarchy. I don't want that. Now, what's the difference between that and a republic? Their authority is derived from the election by the people, a public official, best suited to represent them. So we're supposed to find the best people who can represent us. Their attitude toward property is respect for laws and individual rights and a sensible economic procedure. Their attitude toward law is administrative of justice in accord with fixed principles and established evidence. Now, this is still part of the 1928 War Manual. This is in their information. With a strict regard to consequences. In other words, they're thinking about the consequences, the next generation. And those people, most times in a mobocracy or the democracy, it's now. Because you're only thinking about now. Debt doesn't matter. Debt doesn't matter. Why? That's the next generation. We're not there. It's not us. It's now and it's us. And they're not going to try to protect down the road. There's a difference in the philosophy. A greater number of citizens and extent of territory may be brought within this compass. Avoids the dangerous extreme of either tyranny or mobocracy. Results in statesmanship, liberty, reason, justice, contentment, and progress. And this is what we want. So does it make a difference what kind of a person to put in place of leadership? Yes, it does make a difference. Because they're going to be making decisions by which we have to live under. While we were still 13 colonies, Professor Alexander Fraser Tyler pointed out why democracies fail. Now, this is a very important issue. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover they can vote themselves largest or money out of the treasury. I can get something. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidate, promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that democracy always collapses over a loose fiscal policy. And this was done a long time ago. And that's what is going on now. And so you have some politicians, look, you vote for me and I'm going to give you this and free health care and I'm going to give you free. Is it free? You say, where are they going to get all you all over here? I want you all to vote for me, and if you'll give it to me, I'm going to give you everything free. You say, where are you going to get it? I'm going to get it from them over here. And so by the legislative pen, I can rob you blind. And you will always vote for me because you're getting something for free. And you'll stop working and providing because you're tired of giving it all away. Why should you work and give it to them? You see, that's un-American. That's contrary to our form of government. You have a responsibility to work and provide for yourself. You have the same right. And if you don't work and you can work, starve. You say, you're unkind. No, I'm not. And that's not being mean. That's biblical. And if you want to stick around here to 5 o'clock, I can show you that too in the Bible. But look at the rest of this. From that moment on, the majority always votes for whoever is going to give them something. And isn't that what a lot of the politicians are doing? Gimme, gimme, gimme. Vote for me. He's not giving his money. He's got to take it from somebody and then keep some of it and then give you some back. And it destroys. Because if I got a piggy bank up here and it's got $1 million in it, and you find out that I can ride that side and give you some, and I can give you some, and I can give you some, and you'll vote for me because I'm going to give you something for free. Now, when all the money is gone, now what do? Then you've got communism because nobody owns anything. There is no money to give. And nobody has health insurance. And nobody has anything. Why? Because you done robbed yourself. You did it to yourself. The clear difference between a democracy and the republic is that, at worst, a republican form of government might degenerate until the representatives of the people are collectively so corrupt, so greedy, and so power-driven that they might try to enrich themselves and increase their power at the expense of the governed. But the people will still have the full authority to vote them out of office. But under a democracy, when you have people who do not care about the Constitution, don't care about your rights, they're going to take away your power to rebel. On the other hand, the worst that can happen in a democracy is that government degenerates into rule by the strongest, cruelest, and most brutal mob at the moment, with countless other mobs eternally contesting them for dictatorial powers. You're seeing what we're talking about take place right before our eyes. And they don't care. And they'll dig up any dirt on anybody. You know what that does? After a while, no good, decent, godly man will want to run for office because it don't have to be true, just an accusation. And it destroys the will of good people to stand up and do something about it. This is something I wrote in 1982 when I ran for the State Board of Education. I put it in a booklet form. 3,000 delegates of the state of Colorado. And I put this out. This is in the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News. Republican philosophy is based upon the Constitution, the Word of God. See, you have to have the Word of God as your foundation. And that's how you determine what kind of a government to have and what kind of a government you're going to have to fulfill, you know, the will that God has laid down for us. So it teaches you how to think. So you want to teach kids the truth of the Word of God so they'll know how to think. You see, democracy teaches you what to think, not how to think. And that's why so many of them can be led like cattle to the slaughter. They don't know how to think. They can't see. They can't reason. They can't relate. Can't record. And all those are important. Teaches how to think. And you'll see, I don't know if you can see the Baron, but when you think right, you can live right. But about building the family and good literature and about individual is important, Americanism, prayer in the schools, moral standards, God is alive, Christian Republic, biblical women's role, all these are all good things. That's the result of the root. But when you have a bad root, then you're going to have bad fruit. And so this is the way it should be on how to think. And then you have teaches what to think. Democratic philosophy is the will of the majority. See, it's on sand. It's not built upon the Word of God. It's built upon how men think. Humanism, secular humanism, without God. And so without God, there's no right, there's no wrong. It's whatever all of us say is right and what all of us say is wrong. It's the will of the people. No, it's not. It's the will of God. And so that is what the Republican philosophy is based upon. And the democratic philosophy is based upon humanism, secular humanism. A man's thoughts, his own reasoning, and to do whatever he wants to do. So you have secular humanism. And so it teaches you what to think. And they're talking about anti-Bible. This is the Democratic Party. This is the democratic philosophy against the Bible, against Christ, against our country. Why do you think so many people, they're against our country. They have no pride in this country. Also, theory of evolution, God is dead, gay rights movement, right to suicide, banned prayer in the school, new world order, all these things up here, and end of legal marriage, all these things. And see, I did this 36 years ago. It's in my little book I got. And when I first came down here, I gave everybody a copy of that book. Anybody remember that book? I mean, I read the book. But it's all in there. And there's a reason, because it's so important. You see, you look at your voter's guide, and you see what is their position. And vote for the man who holds the right position. Forget the faces. Look at the position and where they stand. Because some, you'll find out, will be very simple, very clear. But if you don't vote, you have no right to say one thing about the direction of this country and wrong people being in places of leadership, because you could have done something about it. And Christians across this country could control this country, and an American Christian country, a Republican form of government that secures our freedoms and our rights. But if we don't do it, we'll lose it. And we'll lose this country. You say, what's so bad about that? Our kids won't have the freedom to learn and to enjoy what we have enjoyed. Because they'll take everything that we have, and they'll take it away from us. And they'll destroy our borders. They'll destroy this country. One thing I do agree with Trump, without borders, we're not a country. And we need to protect our country. And that's not been heartless, that's just been reasonable. It's been sensible. It's based upon the Word of God. Now that I've made you all mad at me, let me show you my sweeter side. This hand represents you and me. See how sweet I said that? This represents you and me. This represents sin. We all have sin on us. Now, just because I'm telling you the truth don't mean I'm mad at you. You said, but I'm still telling you the truth. God loves us. He loves you. Even if you do not agree with me on one thing on politics, I've had people say, oh, I didn't come to church to learn politics. Well, then you have to throw your Bible away. The whole Bible is about politics. You ever heard of King David? The kingdom? You ever heard of Jesus being king and ruling? Did you ever heard of David in the Old Testament? And you hear about Joseph who was, hey, all of the Bible is about government. And things the government did right and things the government did wrong. Now it's our turn. Here we are. God loves us, hates our sin. Because we've all sinned, we're all condemned. But God loves us, wants us to go to heaven. He doesn't want us to go into hell. But to go to heaven, we have to be perfect, as righteous as God, and none of us are perfect. We have all sinned, come short of God's perfection. So the Bible says we cannot save ourselves. We need a Savior. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord, God in the flesh. He came into the world because he loves us, hates our sin because our sin separates us from him. So Jesus Christ said that he loved us and he would take all of our sins, pay for them on the cross, came back from the dead. And God says the only thing he wanted me to do or you to do is believe he did it for us. See, this world is not the end of it. This world is going to end. But if you trusted Christ as Savior, you get to go to be with the Lord in heaven. And then he's going to have a 1,000-year reign upon the earth, and he's going to have righteous rule because the king is here. And it says in the increase of his kingdom, there'd be no end. Here, this is all temporary. But I believe that we have a responsibility still to do that which is right. And when we can have a choice in making something right in this country, we ought to be thankful that we can do so. I would rather solve our problems with the ballot than the bullet. Let's pray, shall we? Heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. If you're here this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we may never save America, but if we want to save America, we need to get America saved. You're in this country. You can be an American citizen, but you're not a citizen of heaven until you're born into God's kingdom. So if you've never done so, would you right now say, yes, I will trust Christ as my Savior. I believe he died on that cross, paid for my sins. And friend, if you'll trust him as your Savior, God will save you, give you eternal life. And you can know that you're going to heaven whenever you die. I'm not going to have you forward, not going to embarrass you. But I am going to ask you if what I've said made sense to you. You say, preacher, that made sense to me. I want to be certain of going to heaven, and I will trust Christ as my Savior right now. And friend, if you're making that decision, I'd like to have prayer for you. So I'm going to ask you, if you'd just slip your hand up very quickly, put it right back down. Anyone at all. If you're watching by internet, right where you are, all that you have to do, it's the only thing you can do. Put your trust in Jesus Christ, believing that he died, paid for your sins, that he came back from the dead, and he'll give you as a free gift everlasting life. I pray that you'll trust him. And if you will, right on the screen it says, yes, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. I'd love to know. I appreciate if you click it if you can. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for all you do for us. We pray, Lord, for wisdom to do right. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Don't miss out on all the fun. Join Pastor Jesse and Kyla Martinez on Thursday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. for Tampa Youth Ranch at Calvary Community Church. Tampa Youth Ranch is a great mix of live music, games, Bible study, food, and fun, where teens 13 to 18 get to know God and the Bible with their friends. Check it out online at tampayouthranch.org and see the cool pictures from past activities and all the fun you've been missing. No ride, no problem. Call 813-334-4655 today for information on getting a ride to Tampa Youth Ranch.
Thanks for joining us on BibleLine. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon. Just keep looking up.